Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Live Show. On your Friday, we're going into round 13 and today we're going to be talking about some AFL Fantasy big boys, talking about some players who are off sick and going through all of your questions. Let's go!
Just done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I am your host, Mitch Casey. You can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And we are getting ready to talk about the second buy round of the year. This is supposedly the easy buy round, Luke. And, awfully tall there. But yes, I'm joined by my co-host, Luke Rogerson. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. This, I think, is just a visual metaphor of how our teams are going to go this week. I have been crunching the numbers at Ox Short HQ, and there is no way that anything can go wrong this week.
Nothing could go wrong. Oh. In fact, someone said that nothing's going to go wrong for you midweek.
Yeah.
And before we even had a game... Matt Roberts out.
No. It's buried or planted, Mitch, I'll have you know. And I'm choosing to view myself as planted this week. So watch me blossom.
Watch you blossom. Okay. Let's see. I'm Mitzo is very, very astute observation here that we did in fact switch heights. So just a little mind games. Keep you guys on your toes.
Oh, a little bit of physical gear.
Yeah, a little physical gear. we have got lots to talk about, Luke, because there were some plans that were made throughout the week, that a lot of people, you know, had some downgrade targets in particular that they had penciled in for teams to come along on Thursday night only to completely eradicate those plans. Not Lincoln McCarthy. Who's the other McCarthy? What's his first name?
McCarthy.
McCarthy. He was the number one traded in player. Not named.
I'm guessing that's the old Uno reverse a few people bought.
You have to reverse that one. Gray, he's 50 Shades of Out.
Yeah. It's pretty astute.
And Mitchell, who... Yeah. Pretty rough. He gets dropped and Bice, your mate, is still there.
How has the mighty Bice survived when... I didn't watch this one, but you said that at least young Mitchell maybe put in some effort, whereas we did not see that from Bicey.
That surprised me.
He has surely only held because Robert's out. Regardless, we've jumped the gun because we'd like to do our Thursday night game review before we talk teams.
I'm just too excited.
You had an itch that needed scratching.
Yes. But, so, last night, very relevant game because... We had one of the teams that came off the wire, one of the How many teams were there? Four teams off the bye. And this team was probably the most relevant because they had the most fantasy relevant players. We'll start off the top here with the big fucking llama.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mate, this is a great way to start the weekend with our unique Ruckman going 139 points despite missing set shots right in front of goal.
This is...
So that's a good start for the weekend with Timmy English going big.
It's good from Timmy. You watched the first quarter, I watched the whole game, but Timmy decided he was going to be Timmy Tackle last night, which is not... I don't think you look at English and think he's a tackling monster like the ex-meister, but Tim showed it last night. And to be honest, it was a pretty high tackle game. I think the Hawks had 80-plus tackles and the Bulldogs weren't far off there as well. So
yes.
We were happy that Tim was on the end of a few of those. But Bontempelli.
Yeah, we both traded in the Bont.
We did.
He was the number one midfield target in the trade targets. And look, you might look at a 91 and go, a bit underwhelming. I don't think this week was really the week that we were going, okay. I mean, there was a chance because Dacos went big last week.
Yeah.
I think a 91 is not, it's not the end of the world. It was looking worse than that, to be fair.
Yeah, he saved it. The thing, and we were talking about this just before we jumped on as well, is if you didn't go there and you plan to go there next week, I think that's still a pretty astute move. But the only problem, and I mean, we can speak for our teams, is the fact that there's so many fucking players to trade out that... You know, there was every chance that if we didn't bring in Bont when we had the opportunity this week, that next week there was going to be some issue. And then you're essentially missing him, you know, for a number of weeks potentially there.
And there's going to be more options next week. Like, I really do think Butters is going to become a pretty good option with him going down in price again this round. You're going to have some of those round 13 guys coming in. Like, you don't have a Brayshaw, or if you don't have one of the, you know, the guys, the defense, like a Sinclair or a Wang. Those sort of players, I think... You know, you just be that next step ahead. So if you traded in Bont and you're a bit disappointed by his 91, I think it'll be okay. His run after this game, so starting the week after, he goes St Kilda, Richmond, Sydney, North, which is a beautiful, beautiful four-game stretch, about as nearly as good as it gets.
Two guys that I think we can almost talk about together here are Matt Kennedy and Adam Treloar. So it was Adam Treloar's first game back in a little while last night, and it did get off to a good start. Within the first 5 minutes of this game, he was on the bench. Fortunately, it wasn't a soft tissue injury. It was, I think, a little bit of a knock to his knee. And he did spend a little bit of time getting it assessed, but did eventually come back out. But overall, he played low tog, 67% off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And that just meant that Matt Kennedy was thriving once again in the midfield.
Yeah, he was the second highest, tied along with Ed Richards, second highest CBA attendee. Bont catapulted himself up to the top number one. And Tom Liberatore, he was the one that suffered. He dropped down to 46% CBAs, which, you know, if you had have asked me the question beforehand, I'm not sure I would have said that. I mean, I think I did actually say that during the week that he might get affected, but I also thought that Treloar, I mean, 33%, he's going to be eased in.
There was a point there, and the commentators were talking about it, where Libba was playing sort of across half forward, across half back. Might have been across half back, potentially. Wherever it was, he looked all at sea, and the commentators noted it as well. So I think that's going to be something that has to...
have to figure it out,
They will at the Doggies, because now they've got an embarrassment of riches in the midfield.
Yeah, and obviously it didn't work for them with the score that they had, and Libba didn't put up a good score in 63. So Ed Richards also, he was really good. He put up he was really good. It looked like he was going better and then ended up on a 97. I thought he was going to go bigger than that, but Bailey Dale, you'd be happy if you traded him in as a defender, 112. Not quite the 150 that he did a few weeks ago, but pretty solid nonetheless. And back on Matt Kennedy. Like, he's the real deal, right? Like, I mean, I've been convinced, I think, the last couple of weeks. It just was the fact that he was expensive. And you had that unknown of Treloar coming back. But he's a top six forward, like, through and through. He's any time we see him in the midfield, even if it's just like 40-50%,
he gets it done.
He's a massive points per minute guy, and in a team like the Bulldogs, where they do share that ball around a fair bit, there's no way I can see him not being a top six forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, the bar is just naturally lower for being a forward. The only thing, I mean, he did have a huge first half. He slowed a little bit in the third quarter. and then came back in the fourth quarter. But there's still a few things to iron out there. Like Treloar's not going to play 67% game time. I don't know whether Libba can play another position. But yeah, being a forward means the bar's lower.
Maybe he's not going to score 132 every week. Maybe he'll score 100. Well, 95 even. Like 95 is probably a top six forward. Yeah, I think he's, that's well lower. Within the realm of possibility for Matt Kennedy. So definitely, I'm convinced on that one. Anything else really to talk about in that game? Not really else. Like the Hawks, Dylan Moore, he turned up for the first time. Is that his first ton of the season?
He had a much more Dylan Moore-like stat line. When you look at that last night, I think he's in mid-20 possessions. He kicked a couple of behinds, I think, actually. But then he's got his sort of five marks, five tackles, roughly. So that's very much Dylan Moore.
Some people went... sorry to cut you off. Some people went to Seamus Mitchell and I think it's Sam Butler as well last night as... I think one was a forward, one was a defender, like 350K-ish type players. And they both put up 60s.
Yeah, Sam Butler, was it him, I think, that hasn't played in like 400
days?
Yeah,
they were saying that, yeah.
So good on him for getting out there and getting 3-1 as well.
So I wonder if they stick around. They've got around 15 by. So I think if you didn't get them last night, I'm not sure I'd jump on them next week anyway. But I think it's a solid output for what you were hoping for if you traded those players in.
We jumped the gun a little bit before, but let's talk some team reactions. Matt Roberts' illness.
He took one look at the film when they did their study over the weekend and said, oh, I'm fucking sick, guys. I can't do this again.
Turns out it's contagious because him out made me sick.
Yeah.
So it's contagious. It's getting around.
It was not in anyone's plans to be trading out Matt Roberts this week.
No.
Coming up against Richmond 1 week before his bye. But is it as simple as he's going to miss 2 weeks now? We trade him because he's not a top six defender. He's got his bye the week after this, so he's missing two.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money to just be sitting there doing nothing for 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
For someone who's not going to be... You're luxury trading him after the bye season anyway. So, is it you just trade him out?
Yeah, I think so. That coming from a guy who's currently not trading him out. But this is a little insight into how bad my team is. The point I'm at is I'm having to prioritize whether to trade guys out because they're either red dots or they're going to go down in cash.
Yeah.
So the choice is not upgrades or, you know, fruitful
shit
over.
You're not going to be the only one in that position. Like, that's not... Like, I think that's a pretty common question is, do we trade out the red dots or do we trade out the guys who are going backwards in cash? And I think the answer is going to be different for different teams depending on what your scoring is going to look like this week. How many of those dud rooks are you going to have on your field this week?
The other thing with Roberts too, I think, is like he's obviously more expensive. So if he's what unlocks a better upgrade for you, then it's a no-brainer to me. And even in the position where I'm holding this week, you have got to have him in your plans next week for maybe even two genuine upgrades.
Yeah. So I think if you can, I'd be looking to trade him. There's not too much point in holding a, what is he, 800,000... nearly $900,000 player for 2 weeks who's not going to be a keeper for the rest of the season. So, happy to move him on. We've got a debutant playing tonight in Gallup.
Gallop.
Gallop. Is that how you pronounce it?
It's Gallup.
Gallup.
Are you interested in getting on the pony?
No. No, I'm not. I don't know much about him. But playing for Brisbane, I've heard he's a bit of a key forward, maybe pinch hits in the ruck a little bit. Scores in the VFL, from what I hear, are nothing too exciting. So for me, I'd like to sit and watch this player if I could. But a 230K forward is something that a lot of people were looking for. I was hoping for my boy Banshee to be there.
Oh, my.
But
don't
know if that's going to be happening. In fact, I'm just checking the... not in. No, not to be. I think that positional need is pretty high for some people. But again, if you can afford to not go there, I probably would wait and have a look at him.
Yeah. The this one, I see why you didn't want to bring this one up, but I will bring this one up. Sid Draper has been omitted. And so I want to know, who's the sub tonight at Adelaide? Sanberry's
named on field, so it won't be him. It's going to be...
Sam Berry. Let's go.
No, it's going to be...
Read it and weep.
It's going to be either Pedler or Brody Smith.
Or Sam Berry.
Pedlar. I'm going to go Pedlar.
You mentioned it as well off the top. Campbell Gray, Caleb Mitchell, Caden Cleary, all omitted. Cleary, yeah, obviously, is a guy that can go anyway, but people are considering Mitchell and Campbell Gray.
Yeah, no reverse more. Those trades.
No more, yeah, unfortunately. The last one we'll talk about here, a little bit more interesting, I reckon, is Briggsy out for the Giants. Mm-hmm. Madden in.
Yeah. You'd have to be Madden to trade him in, right?
No, that's not one.
Well, okay. Is he an option as a downgrade? Like, I probably do prefer him over Gallup if I had to choose between the two 30K rooks.
The issue is the position, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, he's a ruck only. So if you're trading him in, you're either doing like a little 30K grab from someone like a Boyd, or you're trading him into your utility spot, and then you've got four rucks in your team. Which I don't think is the end of the world as long as he does make a lot of cash. I don't know. Sometimes we see these rucks come in and sometimes they go crazy. Sometimes they're terrible. And he's been on the list for a long time. I will say, coming up against Port Adelaide this week, it can't really get easier as part of your first game into AFL, because going up against pretty much a Sanford ruckman in Vicentini, they've been the number one, since he's come to the side, they've been the number one easiest matchup for rucks. So it's a good starting point for him if you were to launch in that way.
You're prioritising cash in that situation, aren't you? Because especially if you trade him in at your utility, you're foregoing some flexibility, I would think, over the coming 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, if you're wanting to hold Marshall, maybe there's... We'll talk about it a little bit more, I'm sure, lately. People will have some questions about it. Having a look here at the trimmed Sunday benches, we've only got two games to look at, I think, here.
Darcy Parrish back in.
Yeah,
okay. That's an interesting one. I wonder how that shakes up things with Merritt playing. He obviously was playing halfback last week.
Gives him more of a reason to play him in
halfback,
doesn't
it? What does Nick Martin do? Because he moved into the centre bounce. Does he go back to a bit more of a forward wing role?
Interesting
one there, yeah.
The bread's back.
The Chin Cotter.
Bald bread.
There we go.
Let's go.
What's he been up to? Haven't seen him in a while. Not too much else going on in the other games. Finbar, Marley has been omitted. With not much else happening. Yeah.
Before we talk some large boys, let's jump in here to a super chat from One Shot Kid. We appreciate it very
much. Thank you, One Shot Kid. Happy Friday to yourself, mate.
Hardman and 90K or rookie and then pocketing 250-300K?
To me, Hardman.
Junior?
Tim Hardaway Jr. Riley Hardman he's the cash cow of the week, in my opinion. He just seems to me to have the most certain short-term cash generation, no buy to speak of. He did ton up in his last game, and I know the game before he scored a 40-odd, but if Sheezel is in fact going to play forward, Hardman is in a position to maybe be the second distributor alongside a Caleb Daniel in a team where that's been a fruitful position to score in the past. Yeah. So to me, he's the number one cash cow, so I'd probably go him over any of those really cheap rookies, because a lot of those cheap rookies I just don't have much faith in. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he's still got a low break even. And like you said, he's got that one extra game, whereas a lot of the rookies that people are looking at don't. So
yeah.
The other thing, I mean, Gallup, like you said before, it's the reigning premiers. Like,
you need someone who's going to stick around. You need someone who's going to be there. You don't make cash if you're playing in the VFL or the SANFL. It just doesn't know how it works, Luke.
Oh, yes, I know. I do understand.
I'm going Hardman in this situation, and I will be trading him into my team this week.
Beautiful. Mate, I reckon we're early into some big boys this week, so we might get a chance to answer quite a few questions at the end as well, but...
All right, hit me with my theme music, Luke.
My theme music, the entrance music.
Yeah.
Woo! Let's go with the big boys and Luke...
Tell me more.
This week, my line is higher.
Okay.
Because the top two big boys are just solid as a rock. We have two amazing choices this week. And I think if you have one or both of these players, which most people should have at least one of these players, your line for the VC this week, normally I say it's a 110. I'm going to say it has to be a minimum of 115.
Ooh.
And you might even consider something between 115 and 120 to be questionable. So you're going to have to at least get 120 to go, yep, I'm taking that VC. 115 to 119, you think about it. But the top two players I'm talking about here are Tristan Sherry, number one, and Bailey Smith at number two. Basically, Bailey Smith, the highest averaging player, coming up against Gold Coast, who are the easiest team for midfielders to play against in the last five games, second easiest on the entire season. And then Tristan Sherry up against West Coast, who are the easiest matchup for Rucks, second easiest in the last five games. And these are just two players that don't know how to take it easy in an easy matchup. They will just keep going for big points. So I feel very confident in those top two.
Yeah, I think it's hard to go wrong. And Tristan Sherry might feature a little bit in the coming weeks too, because I think he's going into a nice run of form.
He's gone into a nice run of form. I think he also really likes the ground that he's playing out. I think he played there in the preseason and dominated in that game. So last year, I think he put up a 160 and a 120 against the West Coast Eagles. So it could be really, really massive. But I still would be going. My personal plan is to do a VC Bailey Smith. And I am trading in Tristan Sherry this week. So I'm going to be going into him as the C. I think, yeah, like I said, 120 plus I'm taking. 115 to 119, I'm thinking about it. But I'm not going to take a 114. I'm not going to take anything that or less because I'm very confident in my other choices. Number three to me is this guy. I'm giving him respect, but the inclusion of Parrish makes it a little bit interesting. I'm giving it to Nick Martin. Now, he's coming up against Carlton, I believe, this week, and yeah, that is a pretty good matchup for midfielders. A much better matchup for midfielders than it is for halfbacks. So that's why he's pipped his teammate in Merritt, if we are to expect that he's going to continue that role. And he's just in some great form and just playing all over the ground. So I think he is in for a big game.
Trouble, obviously, is plays later in the round.
He does.
I like the sound of a VC, but really not as many options to roll into for the...
Yeah, look, honestly, I think a lot of us are going to go these top two players. Like most of us have Bailey Smith. A lot of teams have a Tristan Sherry. The thing is, if you don't have a Tristan Sherry, then you're rolling VC Baz into one of these other guys.
Yeah.
And it might be this guy at number four, which is Nick Dacos, coming up in the Kings birthday match.
Yeah.
He loves a medal. Is there a medal? Is there a medal for this game?
I can't recall, actually. It's a big occasion regardless.
Yeah, anyway, it's a big occasion, big game, a public holiday down in Victoria. So he is going to put on a big show. I think last year he had two games. One he got injured on at 62 or something like that. The one later in the season he had a 150 plus score. It was like 154. So he could go big. The thing is, I don't know what Melbourne are going to do in terms of tagging, because they've done a few different tags. I don't know if any of it's really worked throughout the season. And if it's an Oliver standing next, like Oliver will not be able to keep up with him. And last time they tried the forward tag, they got smashed by Geelong. So
yeah,
I think they might park that. So a little bit of maybe a cooler, but I don't know if it's going to be a hard tag. And if you don't hard tag Nick Dacos, he can go massive on any team. So he's a number four. And a number five, a bit of a curveball, bit of a throwback to early in the season. I'm going back to Tom DeConing as the rounding out that top matchup. He's got Essendon, and ever since Big Goldie, old mate Goldie, has gone into the ruck, they have been leaking points to Ruckman, and he just won't be able to keep up with him.
That is a waste of a selection.
You just
nobody,
wait, mate.
Nobody owns him.
I am the top two, coach.
Oh, no, someone gotcha.
Someone has got me.
Someone gotcha. What's their name?
The second best coach in the world when it comes to picking captains.
It's picks like Tom DeConing that's dropped your spot.
Viscelate, who's been nipping at my heels for a couple of weeks. He got me last week, but I'm still the number one expert.
Could be Viscelate. Could be French.
Yeah, it could be Viscelate. But he's got me by, what's that, 20... 29 points.
Expect to fall further with picks like Tom DeConing.
Tom DeConing will saw me to the top, mate. He did me well at the start of the year. And look, he kills it in good matchups, unless they're West Coast and it's 30 degrees. It's colder now. He's gonna be good off the bye.
Completely irrelevant.
If you want the full top 10 big boys, you can go to patreon.com/ballboys to get all my captain selections, the top 10, including some honorable mentions. Last week in my honorable mentions was Hugh McCluggage. Probably should have made my top 10, but yeah, just a bit of extra for you guys there if you want to sign up and support the show.
Very nice, mate. You ready to get spicy?
Let's, yeah, throw some La Spice my way. Ole, ole, ole,
ole. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Let's
it's a party.
Get spicy. I'll kick it off.
Yeah, kick it off. Go for it, mate.
We fully expected Bice to be dropped. And I think for good reason as well. But somehow Bice has held his spot. And you better believe I'm going optimistic, spicy take. Bice.
Sub incoming.
Bice without Roberts. Guess what rhymes with Bice?
Spice.
You guessed it. It does. Bice is going triple figures.
Triple figures?
Yeah, yeah. Break even a 99. I'm not losing any more cash on Bice.
It goes up in price, hey?
Now, let me just...
You wouldn't trade him as round 14 buy after a score like that, would you?
No, he's staying for the long haul. Let me talk about what the fuck is going on, because I tried to reverse my trades this afternoon.
Yeah, can AFL Fantasy look into this? Because this fucked me last weekend with Cleary.
So I've tried to reverse it without going into the weeds. I've tried to essentially trade out Roberts instead of Bice.
Edit your
and trade. The error message that comes up is something like Riley Bice... Can't play ruck.
Can't play ruck.
I didn't fucking ask him to play ruck. Yeah, I asked him to sit at the fucking utility position. So don't tell me you can't play ruck.
I think
there's
a bit of a bug there because I tried to do this with Cleary last week when I found out he was sub. I was trying to edit the trade to take him out. I put him in my utility to edit the trade and it said he was sitting in my ruck position. I said, no, he's not.
Someone out there will know. We're doing something wrong. Someone will have had this happen and they will have a fix for us. I don't care if he's playing. I know he can't play ruck.
Yeah,
he
can't even play. It's a bug. It's
he can't
a bug.
Even play halfback.
If we can't figure it out, it must be. It's bug it, mate. It's
anyway. I digress. Bice, spice, they rhyme. Illuminati confirmed. Bicey triple figures. What do you
all
got,
right,
Mitch?
I'm going to go on the King's birthday big freeze game. I'm going to go into this one here.
Don't drop your markers.
Yeah, that's not a good omen. So I'm going to go with a Dacos variety, but it's not the one you're thinking, Luke. Big Josh Dacos. The handsome one, the one with the great beard. He is going to, again, I don't know if there's a medal for this game, but he's going to win player of the match and he's going to take out and be the bigger brother and he's going to go 130 plus this week and absolutely towel up Melbourne and they won't know what to do with him and he's going to go absolutely massive. He's going to have Dacos for the week.
Okay.
Despite me having Nick Dacos in my top five captains.
Get your
Josh made the top 10. Little spoiler alert. Josh made the top 10.
Get your spicy takes in the comments while I take these maracas off Mitch.
Tim asks, did you see my message?
Yes,
we did, Tim.
Thank you for the super chat, Tim. If you're talking about this message,
then yes.
But
we've just read this out.
Okay, I've just scrolled back for you, Tim. So Tim's message is, Roberts to Bont, Cleary to Lohman, Bice to Hardiman means keeping Peatling, Ashcroft and miss out on Myers, or should I change it? So Cleary to Lohman, Bice to Hardiman, those sound good to me, Tim.
Yeah, no dramas. No dramas having to hold on to Ashcroft and Peatling this week. You know, Peatling can go soon, Ashcroft can go next week, or even if he plays well, he can stretch out to his bye. Yeah, I'm going to be trading out Ashcroft, but if I could trade out someone else to afford the moves I wanted to do, then I would prefer to have held him. I don't think he's going to get subbed out this week.
Yeah. All right. And Tim, you are killing it. I believe Tim's in that territory.
Yeah, so 98th at the start of the round, Tim was.
Getting sized up for... Get the old melon sized up, Tim.
Yeah.
Hat territory.
Start dropping in some questions, guys, or drop in your spicy takes. We always liked you guys to drop the spicy takes in the comment section rather than the chat, so it's immortalized, and then we can go back to them later and see whose hot takes hit the mark. But, yeah, get your questions in, guys. If you had some questions before, pop them in.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Down there again, and we'll start reading out a few.
Mitso Spicy Take is Big Rob, 120 plus tonight.
Mm. Who have they got? The Lions. Fort's there, not no Big O.
Hey,
I think might be fueling that Spicy Take.
And that seems like a good one. I reckon there could be a chance there.
Zanabi wants to talk about LDU as an option. It's a bit of a left field one. Obviously, a player coming off his bye. We were big LDU fans a year or so ago, but I think we've just got more and more evidence to suggest that he's just a 90s guy.
Yeah, it brought me undone being an LDU guy last year. I remember one of the very rare tweets that I ever do was LD useless, which was, of course, great gear.
Yeah, it was. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's I don't know how I come up with these things. But it is probably still the way I unfortunately think about Luke Davies Jr.
Yeah, look, he could have a pop score this week, but I just don't want to. I don't want to get into a guy who I think his ceiling is like 95. You know, he's probably priced a little bit cheaper than that, but it's not enough value when he's farther away from the top eight mids to really consider. So, no, I'd probably look elsewhere.
Corey's Spicy Take is the Doctor, 120 plus, so 200 scores in a row, I think, because he went.
Oh, Doherty.
Prior to
not
his
Dr. buy, Davidson, I yeah. believe.
So
he's an interesting one, hey, because if we knew that he was locked into the side, and I believe he played a little bit off half back as well last week.
He's got scoring pedigree.
He could be a smash pick. Risky, because obviously he's only played two of his last six games, and that's not because he was injured. It's because the team dropped him. So, yeah, interesting.
Snack says Marich or Ashcroft out. Marich for me.
Marich or Ashcroft? Yeah, I'm going Marich out.
The break even is quite high now.
His buy is also earlier.
Yeah.
And
I think Ashcroft's got better, like, consistent. I'm not going to call it ceiling, but I'm going to call it.
I think
it,
his floor is even a bit higher. With like, there was a change in role last week as well with Marich. He moved out more to a wing. So, yeah, I think I'd go Marich out first before Ashcroft.
Lohman or Hardiman here for Tyler?
You try to convince me to Lohman, but I'm going to stick with Hardiman as my number one guy. I like both.
Yep.
I just think the extra game, I think the fact that he's playing in defense behind the ball is always preferable to me. I know he's basically 100K cheaper, but when the name of the game is like short-term cash generation, like the low break-even is going to get you at least probably 100K over the next three weeks. So I think I'm that way slightly. What about you? Are you still Lohman?
Yeah, I'll push back slightly. I mean, Lohman is obviously far less expensive by almost 100K there. And the other thing too, in my opinion, with Lohman is that if he's not injured, which we never predict for players to be injured, we know exactly what he is at the Brisbane Lions.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
And the Brisbane Lions, he's playing. If you want to play in a team, if you want to play forward, no better team to play in than Premiers.
Yeah, they're going to kick a lot of goals, and it'll be down there a bit. So,
but you can tell we're both kind of on the fence, so it's probably can't go wrong with those picks.
I will have both players in my team by this round, and they would be my top two cash generating options, basically, rather than going right down to those like really rookie price players.
Sean here needs a DPP mid forward. Do I trade Marich and gamble on Hayes playing or trade Oliver instead to get Day Wicks or someone around the 330K?
Oh.
These are tough areas to be shopping this week in particular.
It really doesn't feel like we've got any good options, and it's been like that all season.
And it definitely needs to be here for Sean.
What was the cutoff?
DPP mid-forward, 330K.
330K. Oliver. DPP mid-forward. And it needs to be a DPP mid-forward? Shit, there's not many.
This is what Sean's talking
about. Yeah, there's not many, so
might pivot away from that option and see what you can do.
What if Devin Robinson was not the sub tonight? Oh, he fucking will be, though.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not green, he's red, isn't he?
Yeah.
This could be, I mean, Sean, this could be one of those ones where you hold Marich and you hold Oliver this week to potentially look somewhere else with that trade. Hayes, talk to me about Hayes. Do you think, and I'm assuming this is Collingwood Hayes.
Oh, that's the Hayes we're talking about here.
I'm thinking it is.
Yeah, Will Hayes.
You remember?
There was an injury at Collingwood as well. Schultz, he's out.
Was he out again?
Yeah. So I think that might open the door for Hayes, who was good the week before. The problem is you won't know till Sunday.
This is the trouble.
Yeah, he did a hammy, I think.
Yeah. I mean, this, if there's a week to have to do that wait and see, it's during the bye rounds, isn't it?
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
I guess if you like that better, Sean, and gamble on Hayes, this is the week to gamble because at least it's not going to hurt you as much as it might in other weeks. Jack M says, spicy, more like spicy with a B.
Spicy. I like that.
It was a tough one to say out loud, but Jack, anyone who...
It works better in text.
Anyone who read it in the comments is appreciating it, trust me. And Payday says, I named my team after LDU last year. It kind of made it undone. I think it was an omen for Mpede here.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you want to shoot for the stars. You
would
know?
Would you be open?
You don't start your team called the Ox Shorts. You start your team with the Ox Longs.
You
pull that out when the team needs a rocket.
I love pulling out my Ox Long too. Eddie Chets, I get. Are you open to changing your team name year to year, or is this something that you would absolutely not? Is that blasphemy?
Well, I see, in fantasy basketball, I'll have a different team name every year. But in the AFL fantasy space, it seems to be, I don't know, it seems to be the way to just stick to the club name. I don't know, maybe draft is where you could experiment with some funky team names. The classic just seems, you know, just year in, year out, a bit of stability around the footy club.
I haven't yet had a good year with the Ox Logs, so stay tuned. It might
be different. Yeah, maybe it's time for a fresh change, bit of coat of paint.
Matt says Bergman or Hardiman and 250K.
I don't feel like I can get around the Bergman pick. What are your thoughts?
This is the thing. This is the time for a Hardiman play, a quick cash grab, and because he's so much cheaper than Bergman, you can pocket the cash that he makes, and then you can get off him without any second thought in a couple of weeks' time,
yep.
No problems. Whereas Bergman, I think, puts you in this weird position where you've paid enough money for him that you kind of want him to score like an underpriced premium, and then do I get off him if he has a couple of decent scores? And then do you kind of get what I mean? His
role's a bit been like, so he started the CBAs in round 9 with 82% CBAs, and that's when he had his massive score. I think he had that 112 in round 9. Then he went 36% CBAs, way down, and then he's gone back in the middle to 56% CBAs. This has all been without Horn Francis. So Horn Francis may be back the week after, so not this week, but the next week. How does that affect him? Surely it can do nothing but poor things. So to me, it's just, I don't know what I'm signing up for. And like you said, it's enough money that you're paying that you want some kind of consistency, and I just... Yeah, I think I'd rather go down to the sure thing of at least some cash generation is going to be there for Hardiman, whether or not the scoring is or not, and then more flexibility next week.
Let's quickly talk about, not a specific question here, but I've decided I've pocketed a little bit of cash this week, and I've decided with my third trade, which I really didn't know what to do with, and I think a few people are perhaps finding themselves in this position, I've decided to go Rowan Marshall to Tristan Sherry this week.
So, I'm doing the same move, I think, as well.
Yeah, you're doing it after you heard I was doing it. So then the thing that you're obviously getting is you're getting the score this week.
Yes.
Rowan Marshall's on his bye. But the other thing too is that just juicy, juicy run for Tristan Sherry in the coming weeks. Is this the point in time where the sort of cash difference between those guys is going to be at its, you know, at its least for the next 3 or 4 weeks?
I mean, Rowan Marshall does have a decent run, I think, after his buys. And Tristan Sherry's break-even isn't low. So I don't know if it's like because the cash is or the price is going to be massively different. It's just the scoring and what it can do to your team's points on field. You're getting an extra game out of Tristan Sherry. You're going to get him in for a massive pop score, we hope, in a good matchup. Potentially you're going to put the C on him for the next 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, essentially. And it just gives you one less, like Tristan Sherry, I expect from now to the end of the season, I expect he could be either he or Baz are going to be the top scorer for the season from this point on. And so it just locks that kind of a player down. And with five bye rounds, I think there's plenty. There's a lot of room to do some of these sideways moves. Yeah. And if you're going to select, maybe you could only do like one or two sideways moves. Getting Tristan Sherry in after his bye on a pop matchup like this is probably option number one when it comes to sideways trading.
The other part to this is the, in my opinion, lack of other great options. So I was happy to lock Bontempelli away this week. Maybe, yeah, you know, in hindsight, Kennedy would have been a great way to spend my money last night. But now, given the fact that there's no one that I look at and think, like, that's a guy I
there's
want.
There's a few it's guys not, we're, like, waiting on, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, there's no, you know, Butters is not a guy I want this week. No. Sam Walsh is not a guy I want. Patrick Cripps is not a guy I want.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Kennedy maybe last night would have been a good
Horn
pick.
Francis is not there yet.
So if you were asking me this kind of move after sort of like round 15 where we've got like a lot of decent premium upgrades on the table,
yep,
then I would maybe consider getting the upgrade because I have enough cash to.
Yep.
But this week I feel better about doing it. So if there's anyone in that position where maybe you've just got a little bit of leftover cash because it's about 100K, maybe a little bit more.
It's about 100K to get there, yeah. See, I wasn't going to do this until the Roberts out because I couldn't make an upgrade and do this trade.
Yep.
And I didn't want to walk away from this week only upgrading, quote unquote, Marshall to Sherry, sidewaysing. I didn't want that to be my only avenue to more scoring in my team. So, but now that I got Bont through Roberts with more cash, and I can also make this move, that makes me feel better. So if you can do that and an upgrade, I think it's a solid play.
Exceptions asks here, who's the best downgrade this week that isn't Hardiman? Looking for another one. Lohman, if you don't have, I think is still a good option. Can we give Cooper Lord some airtime here, Mitch? Because I feel like I like this pick a little more than you.
See, this is probably more for the fact that I haven't been across Carlton much this year and I haven't watched him play, so I don't know too much about him and why he's been as good as he has been. He actually was playing midfield time, but poorer. So when he moved out of the midfield and actually started playing some more time on ground, his scoring went up a little bit more.
The thing I can see here,
he's
more expensive. Okay, so he's a lot more expensive than Hardiman, so I wouldn't be going him over Hardiman, but... Is this a scenario where you just, for whatever reason, don't have cash banked? He's going into Essendon, West Coast, North Melbourne. And Carl, like, let's be honest, Carlton aren't setting the world on fire this year. So I feel like if he's playing good football, he's going to remain with that high time on ground, you would hope. So is it just another sort of like 3-week play? And he's at a price where I don't feel like you get attached to him.
Definitely. Yeah, I think you could definitely go there. I'll throw another name to like, similar price point, Ed Allen. Now he's got a buy coming up.
Yeah.
If he didn't, I would rather go there than him. But the buy probably makes it more difficult to sell that. And also, obviously, the Monday game, you're going in a bit blind.
He's quite a bit cheaper.
You could do worse than Lord.
Allen's 80K cheaper. So if you look at it purely from a cash generation perspective, I don't think Lord's going to make up that 80K.
No, I don't think so.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, in that extra game or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And Ed Allen, looked great. Someone mentioned to me this week that he was playing more wing time, but I think from memory, and I might absolutely butcher this, but it looked like from his heat map that a lot of the peel he was getting was down back, which can be pretty typical of wingers as well. Let me just double check that.
If I had to trade one of those really cheap...
I was all
cheap,
over the ground, so yeah.
Yeah. If I had to trade in one of those really cheap players, like a below 350 kind of K player, it probably would be Caleb Smith from Richmond.
Okay.
Break even of 2. He's played 6 games this year, and obviously being in Richmond, there's the hope that he's got a bit of job security there. I thought he's looked all right the last couple of games. Now, you've got a little bit of a risk as after the bye, Jaden Short comes back and maybe takes his spot, but that's why none of these picks fill me with a whole lot of confidence. But if I had to go cheaper, I'd probably go someone like a Caleb Smith as the potential option there. But yeah, it's slim pickings, man. I don't feel great about any of them, to be honest.
TJ, thank you for your super chat, TJ. We appreciate it. TJ says, would you rather Crips or Chera?
I think I'd rather Crips, but I don't know why. I just feel more solid in Crips' role.
Adam Chera is 50K cheaper than Crips.
50K worse.
This not feeling solid on Adam Chera's role, I think that has to go.
You think I'm crazy?
There was one injury and he got put to half back. Okay, well, we can't make our picks based on, you know, other players.
No, I know. I just... Adam Chera,
bro.
He likes running the pine a bit, doesn't he?
Not my boy Chera.
Yeah, he loves the pine.
Occasional pine rider.
Yeah.
But when he's out there, there's nothing pine about it.
Yeah, there's... No, he's a good player. Look, here's where... I think Crips will score more, but if that 50K difference is like the difference between you making a better trade next week, or if you start to forecast some things, or you can get a better downgrade as an alternative, then I would go Chera. I'd probably go Sam Walsh over all of them. I'd make that punt. You're going around this area anyway. There's all risks. There's all uncertainties. I would at least take a punt on a guy that's done 110 before. And he's done, like... I went back looking because I thought, okay, yeah, his role's different. But he's averaged 105 before with a 55% CBA role in the past. So he's not foreign to this type of a role. So I'll look it up here. So in last year, he was 70%. No, it was in 2022, he averaged 103 points with 55% CBAs, exactly what he's doing now. In 2023, he had 55% CBAs, 98, which is not great, but it's still more than he's priced at 90, essentially, now.
Yeah, it's a nice name to have in your team, I think, at the price that you can get him for. Keep in mind, all these Carlton guys have a great three-game run as well. So I think that earlier in the year, Walsh's one big game of the season did come against West Coast. He kicked three goals from memory.
He could do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. He absolutely could. Let's talk here in big capital letters. Jack says, Sheldrick. Talk about Sheldrick. I traded in Sheldrick last week.
You did.
Given that he has the bye after this week, I just don't know whether you get enough out of him to trade him in this week.
Yeah, I think he's too expensive to be taking basically a one-week punt on him.
And I know we can't get sucked into just it's the Richmond matchup. He's going to make so much money.
Hey, no, it's the Sydney matchup. This is the Sydney matchup for Richmond. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Although they didn't get scored on in terms of fantasy points last week because they were too easy, I think. But yeah. I think it's a bit late on Sheldrick.
Yeah. Lee wants to ponder Jai Caldwell, even despite the bye. We had this discussion. Was it Monday that we had this discussion? And I cowered to your math abilities. You mathed me.
Math was super effective.
Jai, you're a math type Pokemon.
Yeah, that's it. The old math type.
Fucking nerd. But Jai Caldwell is so good.
I love him. I think he's an excellent footy player. We've now got Parrish that's coming in. Just a little... I don't think it's going to be too much an issue, but just a little variable extra there. What I will say, if you could guarantee and nothing went wrong, and that's fantasy, nothing ever goes wrong, and you were able to trade Caldwell out at his bye to someone coming off, essentially regaining that game back that you're missing by going him over around 12... There's a theoretical way that it could work out to be the better move. But that's then you're also like going, okay, is there that opportunity cost of what else that trade could be that week? You know, maybe it's bringing someone else on it. You could just lose a game regardless. But I will still fall back on you should be trading at round 12 premiums. Other players, cash generator types, where you're not investing as much money. I think it's a different story. But premiums, and he is a premium. He's nearly priced at $1 million.
Yeah.
It's just a whole 25% less availability over the next four rounds, which is a big chunk.
Tim says, and for full transparency on this Friday evening, what are your trades this week, Mitch?
My trades?
Read them out. And they mustn't change from this point. You're not allowed to change them no matter what.
I'm a man of my word. Matt Roberts is going down to Riley Hardiman. which is getting me the money to do both Levi Ashcroft to Bontempelli, which obviously Bont's played already, and then Rowan Marshall to Tristan Sherry, which leaves me still with another 200K in the bank because I went into the round with 200K.
Yeah.
So it also puts me in a position where over the next three buy rounds, I will need to make an upgrade with every single buy round to finish my team after the buys. So a little bit of pressure there in case there's some more carnage and
There won't be, mate. Like you just said, nothing ever goes wrong. My trade's poo is finally going out. I've been working on that poo for a couple of weeks now.
Been pushing.
And Lawletta Hardiman and then the Marshall Sherry move as well. But listen to the names that need to go from the Ox songs. Poo, Lawler, Marshall, Roberts, Cleary, Warner, Sheldrick, Bice, Clark, Hardiman eventually. It's just, it's a fucking shit show.
Yeah.
Tune out right now, guys. Jordan says, speaking of the Marshall Sherry move, Jordan says, would it be worth him changing El Hooley out to Hall out if it meant being able to afford that Marshall to Sherry move? Mm. It's a guaranteed extra body on field this week, and we're hoping it's going to be the biggest body of them all.
Yeah, he's a big body, regardless of what he scores. El Hooley, he's obviously not playing, right? Am I right in saying that? Is he a red dot?
It would be very sad if he's not playing.
Mm, nice. Bear with me. This is probably a really obvious answer, but I have not been across whether he's been playing or not. No, okay. I don't... It really depends on your cash. Oh, Maxwell, well, he's not making cash.
So you're purely...
Okay, yeah. I think you do it. I think you get in Tristan Sherry.
You're purely making this decision on how much you need the potential warm body of Max Hall as well.
I think that's going to be offset by the amount of points you're going to score from Sherry this week. That will cover 3 weeks of Max Hall basically as a maybe best 18 option.
Before we get to Mad Marshall Super Chat, just general, a few people asking about the doctor. Just general chat on Doherty.
If I could guarantee that he was in the side, yeah, I think he'd be a great option. I just can't guarantee that. And it's like we sort of said before with Bergman, it's like, yeah, he's cheap.
Yeah.
But it's not like 400K cheap. Oh, if it doesn't work out, whatever. You are still investing a decent amount of coin for a player that you'd need to fucking play. If I could guarantee that, he'd be a massive target, but I just have nerves around that.
And this is not saying that he won't come in and play a few games in a row, but I just put myself in the position of the Carlton selection committee and go, okay, we're not having a great season. Is the answer to go back to a 52-year-old Doherty?
Yeah.
Do you know what, like, is that the answer? Even if he plays well and we start playing well, like, is that where our premiership's hopes lie? 52. Give or take a few years there for the Doc. Sorry, Doc. But yeah, that's kind of where I put my head.
Yeah. I think I would lean not to. Let's make this the last one here, mate, so that people have time to go and make their trades.
Mad Marshall, thank you for the super chat. Says, boys, do I hold Roberts? Have gone Marich, Bice, and Boyd to Bont, Hardiman, and Madden. Should I trade out Roberts and get a Doc, Berg, and keep Bice, Marich, and miss out on the Hardiman, please? No, I don't think I would. I think... Look, the reason that I'm holding Roberts is not because I don't want to move Roberts or need to move Roberts. It's because I don't see the obvious person to upgrade him to. So in this case, would you forego doing that Boyd to Madden ruck move? Do something else?
Yeah, see, that's the part of the trade that I think seems a bit... Like, you're not... Like, it's a nice move, but it's like, how much is it really moving the needle? I think you could, instead of trading Boyd to Madden, like, you could trade Roberts to, I don't know, someone else who's solid.
Roberts right down
or Roberts to Doherty if you've got a bit of DPP or something like that, or just Roberts right down and then have like a shit ton of cash next week, because like their cash is just sitting there. And then if injuries, like say you hold Roberts, we get more injuries this week, well then you're fucked. At least if you make Roberts just cash, then you can fix the new injuries coming up with one trade and then still have two other trades to do an upgrade that you were hoping to do anyway.
And it sounds like Mad Marshall here, if you're not trading in Madden at the utility spot and you're trading him for Boyd, I know you're obviously not making much cash, but the intent there is, okay, you're getting who you think will be the number one ruckman at GWS over the next 3 weeks. Mm. As the number one ruckman, like, you hope that this guy averages mid-70s for the next 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You're not compromising your flexibility because you're not trading him in at the utility spot.
Yep.
Is the cash that we hope that he makes over that 3 weeks worth... Like, essentially, this trade is like a... We've got nothing to do with this trade.
Yeah.
Is it worth just trying to pocket a quick, you know, 150K, 120K?
Yeah. So, yeah. If he goes, like, let's say... I'm going to give him 70. Let's give him 70.
Okay.
If he does 70 over the next three rounds, like, he'll go up, like, 170K, which is no... That's not nothing.
It's okay. Obviously, keep in mind that when you trade him, if he's at your ruck R3 spot, you're going to have to trade him to a 230K ruck, and there's likely not one to be playing. Yeah. So, just remember that. You're not going to generate any cash off the back of downgrading him as well.
If Mad Marshall here had a combo of Marshall and Gorn, and you have the ability to cover Marshall with Madden this week and cover Gorn on his bye coming up, then it would give more... I'd like it a little bit more, because then you've got at least two more ruck spots that you're covering instead of if you had a Sherry or an English that have already coming off their bye, you're only covering one spot over that. So, but I still think... I don't have the confidence that he's going to average 70 over the next three rounds. I just... Maybe that's a bit pessimistic.
You could almost fall into a 70 in the number one ruck roll. But, I mean, we didn't give the straightest of answers, but
Briggs
hopefully...
couldn't.
Yeah, actually, shit. Hopefully we talked about a few things that get the cogs turning anyway. Okay, we'll let the rest of you guys have a fiddle with the teams.
Yep. Yeah, Patrick also just signs in here with a spice take that Madden tons up. Well, that would be a big win for anyone who traded him in. Absolutely. Thank you very much, guys. Again, if you want all the big boys action early before we go live and before the Thursday night game, head to patreon.com/ballboys. You'll also get our trade targets, Luke Rogers round review, and also an exclusive podcast where we answer everyone's questions on the Wednesday night. Make sure you like this video, give it a thumbs up, subscribe, 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and we'll see you guys on Monday. Bye.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.